If they stop abusing people and leave us alone, I may go back someday.
China's Uyghur refugees worry Turkey will send them back. It's Thursday, December 23rd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, police investigate a horrific playground accident in Australia. President Biden announces a plan to fight Omicron. Supply chain crunch continues ahead of the holidays. Rats descend on the Big Apple. And the sounds of Jupiter's moon, Ganymede. It's all on today's VOA Asia. In Turkey, Uyghur refugees who fled Chinese detention centers and other alleged rights abuses say they fear the Turkish government is under increased pressure to prosecute or deport activists. But as VOA's Heather Murdoch finds at one school in Istanbul, some Uyghur children say their parents sent them here to find safety when there was no one to care for them at home.
Mujahid is a 12-year-old Uyghur refugee in Turkey.
I remember at home we used to go to the pool with my father and have competitions. We would have fun with my dad. I was 4 years old then, very little. Sometimes I remember by looking at my mom and dad's picture. The last thing my parents said to me was, "Even if you forget us, we will not forget you."
Mujahid is one of dozens of Uyghur children who live in this Istanbul school, which teaches Uyghur language, math, religion, and other subjects in the hours before and after public schools meet. Most of the students live with parents or relatives, but many, like Mujahid, live in this school. Their parents are all believed to be detained by the Chinese government. Amnesty International says a million or more, mostly Uyghur Muslims, from Xinjiang, the autonomous region of China where most Uyghurs live, have been detained in centers like this since 2017. It is part of a systematic campaign Amnesty calls Crimes Against Humanity that includes at least imprisonment, torture, and persecution. China has denied abuses against Uyghurs for decades and says the modern-day centers educate and teach vocational skills to reduce poverty. The government also says some actions against Uyghurs are meant to combat Islamic extremism and that foreign accusations of human rights abuses are attempts to destabilize China for political gain. As many as 50,000 Uyghurs work and live in Turkey, and the country is generally viewed as a safe haven for Uyghur refugees. But families and their lawyers say economic and security ties between Turkey and China have deepened in recent years. And so have threats to the Uyghur community. Enver Turdi reported news in Xinjiang and continues to speak out against human rights abuses in China, even after a year of detention in Turkey.
Turkey holds and investigates people for months or a year and finds nothing. Once they have the correct information, they let people go. For me, it's been 3 years and they are still investigating. China cannot provide evidence.
Lawyers say families increasingly fear detainees will be deported to China, where they could face imprisonment or worse.
If they stop abusing people and leave us alone, I may go back someday.
The boys say while many children here have parents with them in Istanbul, everyone they know in the school has missing family members. Heather Murdoch, VOA News, Istanbul.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Jury finds Harvard professor guilty of lying about China ties. Japan hangs three in first use of capital punishment in 2 years. Myanmar court delays verdict in Suu Kyi's latest trial. Australian research identifies kidney-protecting gene. Chinese tennis star denies accusing ex-official of sexual assault. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook, at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The death toll is still mounting in the Philippines after a typhoon ravaged the island nation. Arthur Yap is the governor of the province of Bohol. He says the thousands impacted are still in urgent need of water and other basic necessities.
The immediate assistance that we're giving is food and water at this point in time. And we need boom trucks so we can move the fallen trees and the fallen concrete posts from the national highways so it will not clog the streets.
China and Japan have sent aid despite no formal international request from Manila. A sixth child has died after a bouncy castle accident in the island state of Tasmania in Australia. A police investigation is continuing. VOA's Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
A sixth child who'd been injured in an accident in the Tasmanian port city of Devonport last week has died. 11-year-old Chase Harrison, who died Sunday afternoon, was injured Thursday when a bouncy castle and several inflatable balls were lifted off the ground in high winds at a school event. State Premier Peter Gutwin.
I'm certain that all Tasmanians share with me a deep sadness and a heartache that young Chase Harrison, another child involved in this terrible tragedy, has now passed away.
Two children remain in a critical condition in the Royal Hobart Hospital, while a third is recovering from his injuries at home. Investigators believe the children fell from a height of about 10 metres. Meanwhile, the police inquiry into one of Australia's worst playground disasters is continuing. It could take several weeks to complete. The authorities haven't said how many children were on the inflatable device at the time or if it was tethered to the ground. Tasmania Police Commissioner Darren Hine says specialist help is arriving from other parts of the country.
We have accepted an offer from New South Wales Police to assist in conducting interviews in relation to this tragic event. Four forensic child interviewers will travel to Tasmania today to help conduct interviews with young witnesses over the coming days.
An expert in amusement park safety says some smaller bouncy castles don't adhere to Australian safety regulations and can be bought from overseas retailers for about $600. David Randall from DRA Safety Specialists in the state of Queensland told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that some imports can be unsafe.
Unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of these devices coming from overseas, China, where they're manufactured without adequate instructions on them, and people are unaware of the risks of them being picked up and blown by extreme winds.
A floral tribute to the school children who died and were injured at the school in northwest Tasmania continues to grow. An online fundraising page created to support the families of the victims has raised more than $850,000. Prime Minister Scott Morrison said the tragedy was unthinkably heartbreaking. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
The United Nations Security Council has approved an exception to the sanctions on Afghanistan's government in order to provide humanitarian assistance to the Afghan people. Some 160 national and international humanitarian organizations are providing critical food and health assistance in Afghanistan, as well as education, water, and sanitation. Humanitarian operations in Afghanistan are set to be the largest anywhere in the world in 2022, reaching some 22 million people. Former U.S. General David Petraeus told VOA's Afghan service that guaranteeing basic freedoms is required for Washington to formally recognize the Taliban as a government and not a terror group.
Well, I don't think we can recognize the Taliban until they actually do what it is that we believe they should do and what they have at various times said they would do but have not done, which is to provide certain human rights to individuals, to provide security for all, to allow women to work, to resume their place in society, to allow girls to get an education. I mean, the list is quite long. They're finding out that it's a lot harder to be counterinsurgents than it is insurgents. It's much harder to be in charge of government instead of criticizing those who are trying to govern. It's vastly harder to run an economy nowadays than it was some 20 or 25 years ago when the Taliban took and held power. So all of these issues are confronting them.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, Biden's battle plan for Omicron. Happening now in Asia. The Indian government has proposed legislation to raise the minimum age of marriage for women from 18 to 21 years. That would put women on par with men. But many female activists say that the planned law will do little to address deep-seated societal problems that result in millions of young girls being married at a younger age. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. So happy you've decided to join us here on VOA Asia. A man in the southwestern U.S. state of Texas may be the first in the nation to die of the new Omicron variant of the coronavirus, which is now the dominant one in the United States. Health officials in Harris County say the man in his 50s was unvaccinated and suffered from underlying health conditions that left him vulnerable to severe complications from COVID-19. U.S. President Joe Biden is outlining a new plan to deal with the outbreak of Omicron across the United States. VOA's Anita Powell has our report.
President Joe Biden said he has three tools to fight the rapid spread of COVID-19's formidable Omicron variant. The administration will increase support for hospitals, make $500 million free tests available to Americans, and expand vaccine access. He also encouraged the vaccinated to not panic.
If you're not fully vaccinated, you have good reason to be concerned. You're at a high risk of getting sick. And if you get sick, you're likely to spread it to others, including friends and family. The unvaccinated have a significantly higher risk of ending up in a hospital or even dying. Almost everyone who has died from COVID-19 in the past many months has been unvaccinated. Unvaccinated. But if you're among the majority of Americans who are fully vaccinated, and especially if you've gotten the booster shot, that third shot, you have much less reason to worry.
Biden acknowledged that persuading the holdouts, about 40% of Americans are completely unvaccinated, is an enduring challenge for his administration.
Look, the unvaccinated are responsible for their own choices. But those choices have been fueled by dangerous misinformation on cable TV and social media. You know, these companies and personalities are making money by peddling lies and allowing misinformation that can kill their own customers and their own supporters. It's wrong. It's immoral. And I call on the purveyors of these lies and misinformation to stop it. Stop it now.
In recent days, an unlikely pro-vaccine ally has emerged, former President Donald Trump. He recently admitted he had received a booster shot and was booed for it by some of his followers.
It may be one of the few things he and I agree on. People with booster shots are highly protected. Join them. Join us.
But critics say this push for boosters is unjust when many around the world have yet to get a single shot. On Tuesday, the One Campaign, a health policy advocacy organization, warned that there is no way to hit the target of vaccinating 40% of the world's population by the end of the year, and that it could take more than a decade for low-income countries to match the vaccination levels of high-income countries.
We are absolutely not winning the global war against the pandemic, as evidenced by Omicron. But of course, Delta showed us that, and the original virus showed us that. The lack of global leadership, the lack of coordinated leadership among countries, the knee-first reaction by every, you know, government leader during the first 2 years of this pandemic has meant that it has continued on longer at the cost of more lives and more livelihoods. It's very clear what needs to happen. A national-only strategy will not work.
Critics also decry wealthy nations for hoarding essential supplies. On Tuesday, Biden defended the U.S. decision to stockpile protective equipment and ventilators as necessary to prepare for a run on hospitals. This week, as Americans stare down this threat, Biden sought to put a balm on his weary nation.
I know you're tired. I really mean this, and I know you're frustrated. We all want this to be over, but we're still in it. And this is a critical moment. We also have more tools than we ever had before. We're ready. We'll get through this.
Anita Powell, VOA News, the White House.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great beaches.
Happening now in Asia. Search and rescue efforts are underway at a remote jade mine in Myanmar after a landslide killed at least one person and left at least 70 others missing on Wednesday. Landslides are a common occurrence for Myanmar's lucrative but poorly regulated jade mining industry. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia, Twitter, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. As Americans enter the holiday season, the U.S. supply chain is plagued with delays in moving goods from ports to warehouses and onto stores and consumers. A shortage of truck drivers is often given as a reason. As VOA's Mike O'Sullivan reports, some experts and drivers see another pervasive problem, a lack of coordination along the supply chain.
Backups at ports and long waits at warehouses. A shortage of 80,000 truckers compounds the problem, says the American Trucking Association's an industry trade group. Another factor, truckers are not efficiently deployed, says an academic researcher, because they average 6.5 hours of driving each day of the 11 they are permitted.
They're consistently underutilized by something like 40%.
Correll says the reason is clear.
The way we conventionally schedule our truck drivers for pickup and delivery, and then the way we treat them with a particularly low value on their time.
A Los Angeles trucker named Bill, an immigrant from China who only wants his first name used, visits the port every day.
When low, we sometimes wait for the 6 hour to 9 hour. Yes, sometimes very, very bad.
Do you make money when you wait?
Oh, lose money, you know. Everybody lose money.
Truckers can also face long waits at warehouses. Marian, a Romanian immigrant who only wants his first name used, is a long-haul trucker from Chicago.
Sometimes it's a matter of how those companies are organized, how well their employees are trained, how much they care about, you know, what you're doing, and the fact that, you know, we have to also make money.
Truckers can earn good money, so many want to enter the industry, says the owner of a school that trains truck dispatchers. But students must decide if they're willing to undertake the demanding work.
Identify if you are the correct person or not person or good person to do this kind of business.
The Biden administration hopes to meet the shortfall by expanding apprentice programs and training military veterans as truckers. But turnover is high, and another analyst says we need to ask why.
What we have right now in the United States is about 3.5 million jobs that require a commercial driver's license, right? What drivers call a CDL. We have about 10 million people in the United States who hold that license.
Some of them operate heavy equipment, while others have moved to industries like construction, frustrated with inflexible driving rules. Telling them when to sleep, for example, even if they cannot find a safe place to do it.
It happened to me when I had to stop to 2-3 different places and I couldn't find a parking space after 6 o'clock at night.
Marian says he enjoys life on the road, but hears complaints from fellow truckers. So does sociologist Steve Vaselli.
There's a lot of frustration, you know, a sense of disrespect. Drivers talk a lot about, you know, respect.
Vaselli says truckers want respect for their time and professionalism as they haul critical goods across the country. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Making headlines in Asia. Dutch prosecutors have demanded life sentences for 4 suspects on trial for the 2014 downing of a Malaysia Airlines flight over eastern Ukraine, which killed 298 people. The prosecution closed 3 days of final arguments Wednesday by saying the 3 Russians and 1 Ukrainian collaborated to get a missile system from Russia to support separatists in Ukraine. Now on VOA Asia. The COVID pandemic has had many unforeseen consequences. One of the most surprising was the explosion of the rat population in New York City. Nina Vishneva has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
They are everywhere, on scaffolding, in garbage bins, in the subway, and on the streets.
1, 2, 3, 4. If we were to really look in here, you would find even more of them.
Carol Morrison has seen plenty of rats before on the streets in Brooklyn where she lives. But now it has turned into a disaster, she says.
The plastic bags are out on the street because the plastic bags are just invitations. That's a smorgasbord on the street.
Morrison is a Brooklyn activist who fights against rats. This heap of papers contains the addresses of houses where sanitation norms are being ignored. Some house owners have over 400, sometimes even 500, violations on their record.
And there were 60 extermination visits by the Department of Health to this building alone. And there were $1,200 in violations that were issued.
It is often said New York City has 5 times more rats living there than people. While no one knows for sure how many rodents truly live in the Big Apple, it's clear COVID has been good to New York's rats.
Oh my God, look at them all.
An example, those outdoor dining sheds. They're empty now, except for the rats. These days, an evening stroll can often turn into an urban rat hunt using dogs.
This is okay. We usually have better nights. We usually do 40. We usually have 40 rat nights. Tonight, 26.
Every year, New York City authorities invest millions of dollars into projects to deal with the rodent problem. One $32 million program was aimed at improving conditions of city buildings in a few areas, including Brooklyn and parts of Manhattan. It helped for a time. The rats disappeared, but then came back, putting the future of the program at risk. Another initiative that cost the city authorities $5 million introduced mint-scented trash bags.
The theory was that the rats would be repelled by the bags. Well, the rats were not repelled by the bags, and we wasted $5 million.
Incoming New York City Mayor Eric Adams has a history with rats. While he was the Brooklyn Borough President, Adams introduced smart rat traps into the area. It's unclear whether he plans to do the same in other parts of the city in January when he takes office. But for now, dogs are on the job. Fanina Vishnyova in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
NASA recently produced audio of Jupiter's moon Ganymede from data gathered by its orbiting explorer, Juno. Rick Pantaleo tells us more in today's Science in a Minute.
Juno is NASA's orbiting mission to Jupiter and its moons. The space agency's Juno team presented the probe's latest findings at the recent American Geophysical Union's fall meeting. Among the highlights offered included the sounds of the Jovian moon Ganymede from data that was gathered as Juno made a close flyby in June 2021. The data that generated these sounds was collected by the spacecraft's WAVES instrument, which is used to monitor electric and magnetic radio waves that are generated within Jupiter's magnetosphere. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory says that Juno was within 1,038 kilometers of Ganymede's surface during the close flyby and was traveling at a relative velocity of 67,000 kilometers per hour. I am VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
A new study examining an embryo from a fossilized dinosaur egg has provided further evidence supporting the notion that modern birds evolved from dinosaurs. The embryo fossil was discovered in rocks in East China around the year 2000. It was housed in the Yinliang Stone Natural History Museum in Fujian Province, where it was dubbed Baby Yinliang. Paleontologists believe it belongs to a toothless theropod dinosaur, or Oviraptorosaur, dating back at least 66 million years within the Cretaceous period. You have been listening to VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.